Hi, I'm Kirsty Rice, and this is Two Fat Expats. Okay, so this podcast, the very one you're listening to right now, is brought to you by the Shangri-La Dubai. I was in Dubai last weekend. I stayed at the Shangri-La, and it was just as gorgeous as it is in the pics. But I can tell you a bit more about the Shangri-La Dubai a little bit later in the show, because this week we're talking about boarding school. In the meantime, let me introduce you to my podcast partner in crime, a serial expat who's currently sitting in unsunny Hamburg, Germany. Hello, Nikki Moffat. How are you?
Fine. Thank you, Kirsty Rice. How are you? And I just have to say, because I do give Hamburg, Germany a bad rap, but this week has been quite sunny. And just as you said, unsunny, a cloud came out from behind. I mean, the sun came out from behind a cloud because it's still 2 degrees. So tell me about...
Wow, you sit there in your 2 degrees. But sunny, Hamburg. It was fantastic. It was so, so good. I think for us, we have been in a manic kind of 9 months of sport, sport and more sport, where we're up at 7 both days of the weekend and my husband's like coaching and helping out and volunteering and we're driving, you know, left, right and centre. So last weekend was our final trip away for a designated sport for a child because, as we've talked about before, Nikki, you don't get on a bus when you are an expat child and you make the team. You get on a plane and you all go to Kuwait and Oman and Abu Dhabi and Dubai, as it was for us last week. So I guess it was very special for us because, number one, we were all there, so it was all 6 of us, which is an absolute treat. But we stayed in one of the apartments at the Shangri-La, and when you have a family of my size, it's just the best thing to do. And when you have teenagers, it's even better because not everybody wanted to go to exactly the same place at the same time, but it was absolutely fine to leave a 15-year-old in an apartment in a hotel, do you know, because there was still a kitchen and there was a lounge room and then someone else had it. And we had... The bedroom that Greg and I had this amazing little bay window, and I took a photo of each child sort of separately where they had taken claim of the bay window to just sit and read or sit and watch and sit and look. And that to me is the perfect holiday.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. Oh, that's lovely. Because I was going to say, so where do you stay when you go on holiday with 4 children, 6 people? So how does that work? And especially as they're getting bigger, you know, like you can't put them all in one bed.
Yeah. So having a hotel that has apartments is just amazing and not something we've done. We've done houses before, but it also made Greg and I realised that we could maybe do the apartment life. Do you know, once you've done it, particularly if it's in a hotel, but but no, it was great. And location-wise, you know, Dubai has Sheikh Zayed Road, which is sort of the main road that runs all the way through. And location-wise, that's where it was. So for us, it was still, you know, it was great. 10-minute taxi drive to Dubai Mall, 10-minute taxi drive to the Mall of the Emirates, 10-minute drive to baseball. You know, it really was right in the middle of everywhere that we needed to be. So it was fantastic. This week we're talking about boarding school. And this discussion came up because I have my eldest child here this week who is at boarding school. And I sort of sent you a text to say, Nikki, do you reckon we should do an episode just about boarding school and what it's like and what it's been like for her? And you said, yeah, totes.
Totes, I did, because I was using young and hip language.
So,
which apparently is not young and hip, but anyway.
So I interviewed our gorgeous Lizzie, and so why don't I just kick off by playing that now and you and I can come back and have a discussion. So I started off by asking her when her first memory of the boarding school discussion was.
I don't know. It's just always sort of been a thing that was going to happen. It was just like I knew that you guys weren't going to let me graduate here in Doha. Like I don't know, I just always remember knowing that I was going to leave at some point. I never knew if it was going to be year 9, year 10, year 11. I just knew that it was, like, I wasn't going to make it to year 12.
Right.
in Doha.
And did that worry you sometimes? Like, were you thinking, I'd quite like to stay here and then making me go?
No, because in my last sort of year here, I really hated it. A lot of my friends that I'd started school with had left. A lot of the people that I was friends with, I wasn't that into. I really didn't like what I was doing on the weekends. Sport was always really hard because it was always really hot outside and I'm not very good at sport. And adding that other layer of... I just remember I got to the point where I was like, I really don't want to be here at all.
Yeah.
Like, obviously I'll miss my family, but...
While you can't remember an exact time, because neither can I think you're right. I think we always had it in the background just in case we needed to use it, do you know, so that it didn't... I know from our perspective it was more, well, we're not going to walk in one day and go, hey, you're going to boarding school, but what we might do is talk about boarding school as an option so that if it did happen it wasn't going to be this scary thing.
Mm.
So when we first went to go and look at schools, the very first ones we went to, did you get freaked out then?
I don't think so. I think when it comes to moving, I kind of go into this state of mind where everything just sort of goes over my head, where it's like I'm there and I know I'm listening to everything the tour guide's saying, but I'm just like, well, I'm thinking about other things, you know? I kind of just zone out. I don't know. I just remember being like, oh, okay. And because I think we went to maybe 3 schools in one afternoon. I can't remember, but we went to 3 different schools. I don't know what the time period was, but I just remember every single one. I was like, oh, yeah, I could see myself here. Oh, yeah, I could wear that uniform. Oh, yeah, food looks all right, you know?
You asked some very sensible questions.
Yeah.
I remember you asking where you would do your hand washing. Can you remember that?
No. I remember getting asked if they would wake us up. Like, I remember that being a question because I was like, well, mum and dad wake me up, so who's going to do it now?
Okay, when the decision was made, yep, definitely going to boarding school, we're going in year 10. What changed for you as an expat kid then? Did people start to treat you very differently because they knew you were leaving, or do you think expat kids are actually quite good at that because they're used to people coming and going?
I don't know. I think it's because I always knew, my friends always knew. It was just sort of a thing that people knew was happening. Like, sort of, it's like, you know Christmas is going to be a thing. Like, you know you're going to experience Christmas.
Yeah.
But you don't really think about it until maybe 2 weeks beforehand, sort of thing. So it's like, we all knew day before Christmas break, Lizzie's leaving and she's not coming back, sort of thing. It was like everyone knew it was going to happen.
People who are out there are going to be thinking about their kids and whether they would consider it. What was that first week at boarding school like, if you can remember?
If I'm going to be brutally honest, it sucked. Yeah. Like, but that's what it is with every school. Every school, your first week sucks and you hate it. You want to go back to your old school. You want to go back to things that you're used to. You want your mum to make your lunch, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you miss everything. But I don't know. It's sort of, I found first night, worst night ever had. Wasn't feeling it at all. I was like, I don't want to be here. This is the wrong school for me. Get me out, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I don't know, you get past that. You become closer with your roommate. You become closer with the other, for me, girls that I was with. And it's like you get used to it and you're like, oh, this actually doesn't suck that much. Like, I remember, you start to remember why you chose the school. And I remember also sport. Once sport started up, I was like, okay, this is very normal. I know where my classes are. I know what I'm doing. I've made some friends. I have people to sit with at lunch.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of like after the first week, I was used to the boarding house. After the second week, I was used to school. And after the third week, I was settled, like I was ready. So I don't know, to tell a kid that's going to boarding school, just tell them to push through the first month.
Mm.
And after the first month, if you really hate it, I don't know. But most kids, it just takes that first month and you're set. You're ready to go. everything becomes very normal and you really just start enjoying it and appreciating it. And it's also, you kind of have to remember what everyone from your like previous life, I guess, gave up for you to go to boarding school, because it's like it's a financial investment, and it's also like your parents have said goodbye to you to give you this amazing opportunity. Because it's everyone that goes to boarding school wants to be there as well. Mm. It's like it's I don't know, it's a good environment. You'll enjoy it.
So is it fair to say though that back on that first day, because I know this is how I felt, was, oh my God, we've made a terrible mistake. Yeah. This is the dumbest decision we ever made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it feels. And that's how everybody feels as well.
Yeah.
And because when I started with four other new girls, and it was all of us were feeling the exact same thing.
Mm.
And it's, I don't know, looking back on it now, it's really easy to say, oh no, it was fine, you know, I got through it, we're here now. But like in the moment, you're just like, this is one of the stupidest things I've done. Why am I here? I can get just as good marks back home. I really don't see the point. But it's, you have to push through it. And it's a really tough thing to do when you're a kid, to just know that the outcome's going to be good, like to know it's going to be worth it. But it's, you kind of just have to grow up, put your big girl pants on and say, okay, here we are. They've paid the school fees already. I'm stuck here for a term.
So one of the questions Nikki wanted me to ask you was, how do you communicate day to day with your family?
Oh, I'm really bad. I don't communicate enough.
I think you do.
With Dad, I call him like every 3 weeks.
But a really cool thing about that, though, with Dad, is something you only showed me a couple of days ago, and that was all the pictures that Dad sent you. So how, all right, well, let's say the difference. What's the difference between how you and I communicate and how you and Dad communicate?
So Mum calls me every single day.
Yeah.
Without fail, every day after school, and I can tell you it's either at 4 o'clock or 7 o'clock, depending on how our days are going.
Yeah.
If I have sport, it's after dinner. If I don't have sport, it's before dinner for me. Mm. I don't know what time it is for you. Never really looked into it. And it's usually one of us will send a text and it'll say, you free?
Yeah.
Just that. And then the other person won't respond, they'll just call.
Yeah.
And usually we have like an hour's chat. Sometimes I sit there and I'm not really listening to what Mum's saying. She's just sort of telling me what's going on in her life, and I'm like,
God, that sounds like me and Granny.
Yeah, it does. And Mum always tells me, oh, if I get like Granny, you have to tell me. And it's like, well, if I do, then what are we going to talk about? So that's how Mum and I communicate. On the weekends, we're usually like 3-hour-long conversations.
Mm.
But that's all right, because then we'll talk about sport. It's either my sport or my sibling's sport.
Now, what's really interesting about that, and we'll get to Dad in a second, is you were saying before that you found sport really difficult in Doha because it was hot, and you said, and I'm not really very good at sport. Whereas at boarding school, you're really sporty, whether you're good at it or not.
Yeah.
But what changed? What was it that changed?
I think it's a combination of I don't have anything else to do, and the whole girls' school thing. Because it's like at a girls' school, there's stigma around what sport you play, but not legitimate stigma. It's not, oh, she's a soccer player, rah, rah, rah sort of thing. It's like people will make those jokes, but they're just jokes. Yeah. And you just sort of go out and play sport for fun. And then as a boarder, there's really nothing else to do on Saturday. Like, you might as well go out and play sport.
Back to Dad. So how do you and Dad communicate?
So Dad, it's sort of a once in a blue moon. Dad will send me a photo of something in his life. So what was it? Last week, I think it was rugby, he sent me a panorama that he'd taken of the rugby club. And sometimes he sends me lots of selfies of him with an open mouth, like, you know, the clowns at the show.
He loves his selfies, doesn't he?
He took one at lunch today as well. Yeah, he just sends me photos of random things, like out on the bike track, at the baseball, just regular things that Dad does that thinks needs a photo.
The question was, Do you think parents are crazy to spend so much time worrying about how their kids are coping at school?
You see, it's hard for me because mum's not, like, crazy in how much she worries. Like, she worries, but it's, like, a regular amount that I can cope with. We don't have very many crazy parents in the boarding house, so I don't know if I can answer that question because it's, like,
yeah,
I've never experienced that.
Yeah. And what about what's important for you that's not important for your parents?
No. I think it'd probably be... like what I eat for lunch and stuff. Yeah. Like just like really mundane things. Like, because in my boarding house, we have to like hand up our IT at a certain time. And so for me, it's a real stress of making sure I get off the phone to mum in time to go hand up my IT. Because if you don't hand it up on time, it's like you have to hand it up earlier the next night and stuff. Yeah. So it's, like, just silly stuff like that, making sure I order my lunch, making sure I order my lunch right so that they can read my handwriting, because one time I did that and I didn't get any bread with my ham and cheese sandwich. yeah, I think it'd be stuff like that. I'm a bit of a stress head in terms of getting all my work done. So I think mum, dad and I would all worry about if I'm doing enough work and all that. But I don't think there's really any, like, deeper meaning sort of things like that.
And what did you think was going to be hard versus what was hard?
I didn't think about the separation between boarding school and, like, day school is what we call it. I didn't realise that there was going to be, like, such an issue of... I don't know, because when mum went to boarding school, and obviously she's told me all of her stories, she sat with all boarders at lunch, whereas now at school, boarders and day girls, they, like, mix, and so usually there'll be about two boarders for every three day girls or something in a friend group like that. And I'd sort of gone off of what mum had told me about boarding school rather than what actual boarders had told me about boarding school and stuff. I found that it was just like different, it's just different things. Like I assumed that I would just make a bunch of friends and have a bunch of friends sort of thing. Because that's what happens at international schools is you, on the first day of school, you just go in with the mindset of, oh, okay, I'm going to meet two new people today because there's 10 kids that have left and 20 that have arrived or something like that. And so you know that there's going to be those new kids that everyone's trying to make friends with and make their life easier sort of thing.
Mm.
Whereas at a school where there's only 60 girls in your year, friendship groups have already been made and it's really hard to sort of break into that.
Yes. So do you mean that, like, at international schools, new kids are really welcomed because it's new meat, fresh meat, new talent, you know, yay, I might be able to make a new friend.
Yeah.
Whereas... when you go to school in your home country, where it's not an international school, when you go to a non-expat sort of school, people aren't so keen for new people. They don't need new people. They're all set up.
Yeah.
Would you consider sending your own kid to boarding school?
I was just trying to get through year 11.
okay, in a one-word answer, best thing about boarding school?
I think the people.
Right. Worst thing about boarding school?
The people.
Okay. Thank you, Lizzie Bruce. I think we're all covered now.
Okay, Nikki. So what did you think?
Wow. How's the phone bill? It's the first question I want to ask.
It's nothing because we talk constantly on WhatsApp. So it's always WhatsApp or Skype or FaceTime. But yeah, I don't even think she would know how to make a phone call that costs money.
On her phone. That's excellent. But I was just thinking about it going, oh, and I wonder if when G listens to it, it's like, oh, an hour every day. Okay. And I love that you both ganged up and outed him with his selfies, by the way. That was excellent. but what a poised, level-headed young woman. Amazing. I'd like to think I would be able to have that conversation when I was 16, but I highly, highly doubt it. That's obviously hats off to you and your husband for the parenting that you've done over the years.
Do you know what I thought was quite funny about little Lizzie in that interview is anyone who has a teen, like an older teen, will know that quite often with your older teen, they can spend a lot of time just sitting around, you know, in their holidays doing not much with a set of earphones in, and you can get the car, and if they're not feeling very chatty, things aren't chatty, and they can get up in the morning and walk straight past you and get themselves their breakfast and eat it, and you've still not said a word because they're just not quite ready yet. But put a microphone in front of them. Whoa, hello. Oh, we're having a chat now.
Well, no, I was very well.
Yeah, I was incredibly proud of her.
So things have changed a lot since I went to boarding school and not at all, because when she said about, you know, the first month and then you're set, and I think about when we went to boarding school, there's a big rule that you weren't allowed to contact your parents in the first 4 weeks. Like, they weren't allowed to contact you, you weren't allowed to contact them. You know, you just had to get on with it. And she sort of said that. She said, you know, the first week was awful, or the first night and the first week, and just so realistic and so good to have the perspective in that, you know, you said she's been there for sort of nearly 18 months. So it's a really good time where she can still remember it, but that she sort of feels so much more comfortable and loves it so much more now.
When she said that bit about the first month and her honesty about those first days, you know, I've written about how bad that those first days were, and I am very clear in my memory of, you know, I physically could not drive when I left her at the boarding house that first night. I had to go to a friend's down the road, and it was that wailing sort of sob. It was a very primal kind of experience, and it took me about an hour to get myself together, and all of that stuff I remember. But it's so funny when she said that, because you do move on from it, and you do go on, and you know, I drop her off now and I'm sad, but it's nothing like that. Do you know, it doesn't happen over and again. So I guess the parent thing is the same as the kid thing, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Did you both cry the first time when you left her?
Yes. Yeah. So what happened with us is, and our situation was a bit unique in I was having radiation, and the poor kid had to come with me to radiation. I know. It's awful. It's just awful. So
it was just an extra level of emotion there.
Yes, just a little bit extra. So I was working and I was having radiation, and she was going to go to boarding school. So within this day, we drove, you know, the 45 minutes in with everything all packed and ready to roll, and she went and sat in the waiting room while I had my radiation, and then we went to the info thing, and then there's sort of a period of time where in the afternoon where she had to, you know, go off on her own and get set up, and I went off and worked for that time, and then I finished work and came back for the parents' dinner, you know, at 6 o'clock or whatever. And so
what
it was
day.
Really, yeah, it was quite the day. And but then I realised she'd been so cool and so brave about it all and so blasé, you know, almost like she'd said to some other parents, oh, they'd said, gee, it must feel really strange, you know, to have parents that are going back overseas. And she'd joked and sort of said, oh, God, I can't get rid of them, you know, they keep coming back all the time. And I was thinking, wow, she's doing really well. But while we had this last dinner, I just saw her little cheeks start to wobble, and I said to her, do I need to get you out of here? And she was like, yes, now, sort of thing. And we walked outside and we went and sat on this bench under this tree, and we both just fell apart. And it was that awful, fully, you know, I couldn't say anything to console her because I couldn't speak. And, you know, we just sat under this tree and just cried and cried and cried. It was just...
Oh, I'm tearing up. Just you telling the story.
Oh, it was awful. And, you know, now when we go back to school quite often, because I see that bench and I just think, oh, my God, do you know, like it just brings it all back. And her and I went to go to a meeting in the hall. We walked past that bench and like I said to her, oh, my God, there's that bench. And she was like, oh, yes. Do you know, it's the same. It must be weird for her because she walks past it all the time now. In fact, her room looks out at it now. But, yeah, it was incredibly hard.
So I want to ask you one thing then. When you were dropped at boarding school by your parents, did you cry? And or did they cry?
No. So when my mum dropped me off at school, we did the whole, you actually went for a couple of days, like they kind of warmed you into it, you know, eased you into it. So
really?
Yeah, like the new boarders came, I think, on the Friday or the Saturday. And so the new boarders got themselves set up, got their beds unpacked, did all of that. And then the old boarders came on the Sunday, and which is brilliant because you get a bit of time to get cozy and find your spot. And then the old boarders come in and it's suddenly very, very noisy and, you know, everybody knows each other and they're all talking this different language, you know, that you're like, oh, my gosh. So when my parents dropped me off, I remember being very nervy, but they were coming back the next day and then they came back for lunch and it was all very nice and it was giggles. And no, there were no tears, and I understand now. My mum was quite devastated by my what I was up to because I was all yep, off you go. You know, we're busy, we're doing stuff. See you later. You know, catch you next time. But I think too, I think I was going home within a couple of weeks to go to a family wedding, so it wasn't all too scary, and I did just have such a great time when we first started. Like I really, there was a good bunch of girls. I think there was probably about 10 new girls when I started and we'd had a lot of giggles. And to me, it just looked like a pretty good place to be.
Now, can I ask, does your daughter go to the same school that you went to?
No. So she goes to a school that's very similar to the one I went to. And it's literally just down the road. But no, my school very sadly went through some bad administration and is now only a junior school. It doesn't do senior school.
Yeah, because I was going to say, because when my parents dropped me at boarding school, we didn't have that whole new girls come early, but I went in grade 7, so we were all new, I guess. But I remember looking around and all the people clinging to their parents crying. I was going, what are you doing? Why are you upset? They're leaving us here to all be together and they're going away. Anyway, I would have to say that I heard your story and I think it's very emotional and beautiful, the story about you and Lizzie, but I was thinking if my daughter ever went to boarding school, she'd be the same thing. I probably would be crying and she'd be like, dude, go. Leave.
Did you get sad later though? Because I did get sad later. I remembered like once, kind of like kids in kindergarten, they're fine, and then they realise that, oh, this is actually forever. Do you know, we're going to keep doing this every day? You mean this isn't just, yeah. I did.
I don't remember. I'm not saying I didn't. I certainly went through stages during my 6 years of school, boarding school, where, you know, I missed home more than regularly. And I probably went through a little bit of acting out at one stage where I was able to quite clearly fake glandular fever and be sent home for sort of 2 or 3 weeks. Well, they did all sorts of tests on me and I couldn't tell you why I did it. I just sort of just wanted not to be at school. So, but yeah, no, not in grade 7 or first form. I was so excited to be there. Anyway, I just want to say, Lizzie, great. I just think she might grow up and be a bit of a storyteller herself. And loving the Australian accent, it's just one tiny little giveaway that she hasn't been raised in Australia. When she says new, we knew it. Instead of I knew that, she says new. I'm like, oh, there it is. But apart from that, she really sounds quite Australian.
Oh, she sounds like she's on a farm about to feed the chickens, because a lot of Lizzie's friends in the boarding house are, you know, from rural Australia. So whenever we ring her, like Greg and I always joke with her that it sounds like she's just about to say, oh, I'm just going to go outside and feed the chooks. Because you talk to her, she sounds so Australian. What I loved was when she talked about me like I wasn't there. So she referred to mum. Mum says this and mum says that. So I'm I'm literally sitting there with the microphone across from her, and she says, well, Mum always does this, and Mum, and I realised that she really was speaking to the listener. She wasn't speaking to me. She was telling the listener her story. Do you know, this is what...
Yeah, no, I thought it was excellent. That's what I thought. She's like a pro.
Yeah, but no, she was great. I would strongly advise anyone with a teenager to interview them because you get a whole different thing. I remember someone telling me that they used to love to do their daughter's nails because they would act out that they were in a beauty salon and that they were the nail technician, and that their daughter used to tell them all this stuff because it wasn't Mum, it was Gina, the nail technician. And, you know, she'd sit there filing away and she'd say, no, I'm not Mum, I'm Gina, the nail technician. And even to the point that she would speak in a different accent and be a different person.
I did love when Lizzie said about the things that she thought were important that you might not think were important. I think those were good things too.
What was
like,
it? Was
like, Mum, get off the phone, or the food, yeah. And then Mum, get off the phone so I can hand in my technology on time so I don't lose time with it tomorrow, that kind of stuff. But I just thought that was interesting stuff as well.
You know, I've written a post, I think it's called something like, I can't believe you're sending her to boarding school, or something like that, because I still get those comments and I still have those conversations. Just on the weekend, I had someone say to me after, you know, seeing Lizzie and, oh, you know, Lizzie's here, Lizzie's back. Oh, I could never do that. You know, I love my children too much. I could never have them away from me.
That's like the people that say to you, oh, I could never live away from my home country because I would never do that to the grandparents.
Yes.
I mean, it's the same thing. You just look at them and say, you realize you're talking to me, right? Like, yes. It's just a thing. And I think we're used to comments like that being made to us. I mean, not about boarding school, but about the other things. Like, I could never do that because X, Y, Z. And you just sort of have to, I don't know, it's a tough one.
I think what I've learned is that sometimes it comes from people that are really unsure about their own decisions and they're doing it to make themselves feel good about their own choices. It's got nothing to do with mine. Because I know a lot of the times when I really think about the person who's saying it, if I know that person, I know that they're in a lot of turmoil about, are they doing the right thing for their kids? You know, it might be that their contract's about to expire and they might have to move their child at the end of year 11 and they're going to have to go to year 12 somewhere really different and start all over again. You know, whereas we know with Lizzie that the one thing she has is this continuing education and, you know, some stability, that nothing will change. She will always be there. She will have the same friends. The rules won't change. We're not about to lift her and say, oh, well, actually, you can't do the IB. You've got to do the AP, or you've got to go, and now we're going to move to Mexico. And, you know, oh, actually, we're going to go to China. Oh, Dad's job's finishing tomorrow. We're going wherever. So, do you know, I think there's a lot of people that everybody's got their own little struggles and they bring their own personal struggles into your decisions if they're commenting on them. That's just something I've kind of realised now, is I just can't, it doesn't upset me anymore when people say it. It doesn't upset me.
Excellent. That is good to know.
Sorry, now, I went on a little rampage there. Yeah, I think what about,
so I think we've probably covered off boarding school there, and we've given people a lot to think about and some resources. So what about podcasts? What have you been listening to this week?
Okay, so little Henry Hot Dog and I, my youngest, we're back to Bang On. Can you remember I mentioned Bang On a month or two ago? It's the one with Miff Warhurst and Zan Rhodes. Yeah. And I really liked it, and I've talked about it before, so I'm not going to go on about it. But one thing, we've just listened to the last couple of episodes, I really wanted just to mention how smart these women are when it comes to music, and they're kind of my vintage. So a lot of the stuff they talk about is very relative to me, and a lot of the music festivals they talk about and the bands they saw at those music festivals. But what I really loved is Mr. 10-year-old Henry Hot Dog. He's loving Bang On. Like, we had parent-teacher interviews this morning, and he got in the car and the first thing he said was, Bang On? And I was like, sure. So we put on bang on. Anyway, but I just wanted to reiterate that one. I also returned to Hot Copy, which is a podcast about copywriting. And the reason I wanted to mention it today is I know we have a lot of expats who are on the move and are always looking for mobile employment and they want to be digital nomads. And this is just a great freelance career and something you, it's a job that you can be completely mobile with. And Hot Copy is actually run by two copywriters who run their own copywriting schools. So it's definitely something, if you're someone who has a bit of a writing background or marketing or customer service background, could be right for you. And if you're an expat copywriter out there, can you please message me? Because I would like to talk to an expat copywriter. I might have some work for you. So that's another thing. I did think that while I was listening to it, you know, I need someone like this. I need to talk to someone like this. So if you're someone like that, send me a message.
That send your message is kirsty@shemozzle.com?
Yeah, that can be kirsty@shemozzle.com. I think we've got email addresses on the website as well, both Two Fat Expats and the Kirsty Rice Online or Four Kids, 20 Suitcases and a Beagle. What about you? What have you been listening to?
Well, with podcasts, I did listen to Bang On and I don't love it, I don't think, as much as you do, but I did enjoy the Midnight Oil little bit about Midnight Oil this week. I thought that was very good. How they were so excited to get into the Midnight Oil gig. And I did try to book tickets for Midnight Oil in Germany, but it was sold out in like 10 minutes and I couldn't get any.
Wow.
Because they're coming to Germany. Yeah, they're coming and doing some festivals because it's a big festival season over here in summer. But they were also doing some other just individual performances in Germany. I couldn't get any tickets. So that was that. So back with all my old faves, I haven't really been listening to anything new this week that I think that listeners would enjoy. I have been doing some work on a new podcast for a group that I work with, volunteer with, and I've been listening to lots of podcasts to do with that, but that's a little bit boring. Still really enjoying Crime Writers On. I don't know, Kirsty, did you ever go and listen to those episodes of Crime Writers On I recommended?
I didn't.
I do think you would like it. But of course, Crime Writers On is the podcast about crime podcasts and TV documentaries, etc. And this week there was a review of the Casey Anthony documentary and a Richard Simmons update. And surprise, surprise, there's a sponsorship deal on the table.
Oh, for the Richard Simmons update?
Yes.
Oh.
So, and it's all a little bit convoluted. So he signed a sponsorship deal to endorse something, but his manager is also involved in the company that's going to be making the money from the endorsement. Anyway, it's all very treacherous. There you go.
Okay. Nikki, social media.
Yes. So social media this week, the Skim and the Squiz. Do you subscribe to either of those newsletters?
The Squiz I do, and only because, and I'm really cross with myself that I haven't mentioned this earlier, is Auntie Susie, my Greg's sister, she sent me a link to the Squiz, like a long time ago. I went back to try and find it, like how long ago it was, but she sent it to me saying, get onto this, it's fantastic. And I was like, yep. And I did, and I've been following the Squiz. I'm very happily following the Squiz. And then I was listening to Chats 10 Looks 3 the other day and they mentioned it and I thought, why haven't I mentioned it here?
Yes. Well, I did look at it after I saw Chats 10 Looks 3 and then I thought, God, this is the Skim. This is the Australian version of the Skim. So I've had the Skim for ages. I started reading it when I was in the US and it's very similar. So I don't know if the person who does it in Australia is aligned with the Skim, mm-hmm. because the heading is the same, the sort of, it's all very similar and it's got a similar focus. But obviously it's news headlines and smart commentary and aimed at women. So there's no mansplaining of the news is how I would explain it. Is that how you would explain it? What would you say?
Yeah, yeah. And I actually think it doesn't need to say that it's aimed at women. You know, like I think that obviously there's a woman in the logo. But, yeah. You know, I noticed, you know, there was a mention of that somewhere in Chats 10 and I hadn't even thought of it that way. Definitely doesn't feel that way to me.
Well, it feels sort of chatty, which feels more female-oriented to me. But that's just, I don't know, that's my internal biases and discrimination, I guess.
No, I'm sure it's not.
The other thing I was looking at on social media, the Heineken ad. You've seen the Heineken ad, right?
I don't think I have.
Oh, well, it started appearing everywhere this week on social media and Facebook, and I haven't actually shared it. But I think it's one of those 2 or 3 minute YouTube video ads. And what they do is they record widely different political views of two people in advance, and then they put the two people with different political views in a room together and give them a task to do. So in this case, they're building a bar. You might guess where this is going, given it's a Heineken ad. And at the end of the exercise, when they've built the bar, they play a video to them. So they sort of leave them locked in this room, and the video shows each of them talking about their views. Like, for example, one of the pairs says, you know, I think transgender's stupid, you know, or something, you know, it's a person is a person, it's what you're born as, et cetera, et cetera. And then the other person in the room is, of course, transgender. But you wouldn't necessarily know this in the course of their building things together. So then they play the video showing that this one guy is saying these things about transgender, and then they show the transgender person saying, you know, I think these things are important about transgender because X, Y, Z, and I am transgender. And then they say, go and look in this box over here. And, of course, there's two beers. And they say, okay, you can keep the beers and sit down and have a conversation, or you can leave the room. And in the case of the transgender one, the guy sort of turned around and went to walk out.
Oh.
And then he turned around and he said, oh, just kidding, just kidding. And they sat down. He said, of course I'll sit down with you and talk about it. It's quite good in that it's sort of an extension of the whole world of we all live in our own bubbles and we only listen to our own point of view and hear our own biases reflected back at us. So it's about listening to somebody else and talking to somebody else and seeing things from a different point of view. So there's just sort of four pairs of people that go through that same process. It's really good. So I'll share that in the show notes.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. So, Nikki, something did come up in social media for me this week. And that was, I was scrolling through a group that I'm in, and someone had written a post about 13 reasons why. Now, my memory was immediately jogged, and I am completely outing myself for my bad, terrible parenting, which I really must write about soon. But the reason it jogged my memory was I could remember when we were home a few weeks ago, one of my children said to me, oh, you should watch, because we were talking about Netflix, you should watch 13 Reasons Why. It's really good. And I was like, yeah. So thinking, I'll make a note. Let's move on and get dinner ready and do whatever. But in this social media group, someone had written, they'd posted something about 13 Reasons Why and have your children watch this. And, of course, this huge thread unfolded. And, you know, someone who and it was full of people that I know and respect who were saying things like, oh, my God. God, you know, what was Selena Gomez thinking? Or, well, I certainly won't be letting my children watch it. Or, I only lasted 15 minutes and I had to turn it off. And I was thinking, I'm pretty sure my children have watched it.
Yes, right. Well, was it a sinking feeling that you had?
Yeah, it was. It was like I'm pretty sure my kids have watched this. So then this was all happening at about the time that I was doing the boarding school interview with Lizzie, right, and getting ready for that. And something kind of interesting happened where you and I started to talk about it. And yes. In the interview when Lizzie was talking about, we were talking about boarding school, we were talking about doing whatever and fears for her and whatever, and I jokingly said to her, well, I wouldn't be worried about that. I'd be more worried about you maybe watching 13 Reasons Why without me being aware of it. And she was really quite snotty, I guess is one way of saying it. I think a lot of people her age are outraged by the outrage, in that she said to me, look, I have a very different opinion to you. And I just kept the microphone on. And she said, I know we're not meant to be talking about this, but I would really disagree with you if we were talking about this. And I said, no, go ahead. Tell me why. Anyway, I recorded it and then I sent it to you.
Yes. And I loved it because I actually might be a 16-year-old schoolgirl.
So where were you at when all of this was going along?
Well, I have a friend here who has two teenage daughters who are 16 and 14, and so they have been watching it over the Easter break, and she has been watching it with them. And she's American, and she was pretty relaxed about it. She said, I think these things are important to talk about, and, you know, I'm watching it with them, and it's all good. And then I started reading all this horror on Facebook.
Now, I've just realised, Nikki, neither of us have explained to anyone what it is about.
So 13 Reasons Why is about the story of a girl who commits suicide, and she leaves behind 13 tapes. And each tape, and as in old school retro cassette recorder tapes, and the tapes are passed between as part of a solemn promise and vow between the 13 people who don't know the tapes are coming to them, but there's sort of a side person who oversees the fact that the tapes get handed from person to person. And then it goes through the story. But there are some very violent and confronting things that happen during that time. And what you see is it's a series of small events that not every single thing that happened would have led to a suicide, but it's the fact that she felt the whole thing altogether, she felt totally hopeless at the time. So, and it's the violence of some of the things. There's two rapes that occur during the series, and there's also the actual suicide, which they show as well. And that's what most parents are objecting to. And they say it objectifies suicide, and I just don't think it does. From watching it from my point of view, which I agree with what Lizzie said about that.
Yeah, so Lizzie had the reason, I'm really glad I taped it actually, because then I could tell you word for word of what she'd said. But yeah, Lizzie's point was she thought it was a really great sort of acknowledgement of sexual abuse in teens. And she thought, she really felt that all young girls, you know, should watch it because it makes you very aware. And also it was the whole how your actions can affect other people. And I wonder, Nikki, is it that the teens of today don't really identify with her because, you know, like Lizzie said, Mum, the things that girl went through, I've never been through anything like that. I can't imagine that. I think what they were taking away from it was you have to be really careful about how your actions can affect other people because you just don't know what they're going through. And Lizzie's thing was that so many people didn't listen to her and didn't help her, and that she did try to get help and that people didn't take her seriously.
There's that. And I think that they're all good points. And the other point is that sometimes you say something, so someone will ask you a question and you deflect it, or you say, oh no, that wasn't me, that was someone else, because you don't want it to be about you because you're embarrassed or whatever. And that's adults sometimes do that too. It's not just the purview of teens. But that can have like a build-up effect. And in this situation, it had that kind of effect on this girl in the story. But look, I think it's every parent has to have the conversation with their own children. I mean, my 14-year-old son, I know a lot of his classmates, particularly the girls, will have watched it over the holidays. So I sat down with him and I said, have you heard about this TV series? Yes, I have. Are you interested in watching it? No, I'm not. I said, well, I need to give you the basics so you understand what it's about, because people will be talking about it after the holidays and I don't want you to sort of, you know, feel like you're missing out or feel that, or join a conversation and not know what you're talking about, because I think it's going to be one of those things that teens talk about for a while. It seems to be quite a big deal.
Oh yeah, it is a big deal, and they are all talking about it. In that my 14-year-old said to me, so because she makes these cassette tapes and they're all for different people, while all these teens have loved it and, you know, empathized it and whatever, of course no one's too scared to make ridiculous memes and outrageous puns, you know, that. And so my daughter was telling me that, you know, it has become a real thing to say welcome to your tape every time someone says something that burns or that hurts. Yes. And so she said a teacher the other day said, okay, I'm giving you an extra quiz that you're all going to have to do over the weekend. And someone was like, Mrs. Jones, welcome to your tape. And so, and I know that's bad and I should be laughing, but I think that's the thing that kills me is I'm watching so many parents be outraged and horrified and this is terrible and whatever. And I just don't think maybe we give our children the credit they deserve for their own critical thinking, and that they can all watch these scenes and go, well, that's really out of control, you know, crazy, and not my life, but I can pick up these points from it. I do think Lizzie had said that she didn't think you should watch it until you were in high school, that she thought it was probably a little bit too much if you weren't. Now,
and she meant high school as in grade 9 and above, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. For her, middle school is year 6, 7, 8. So, yeah, she would have said year 9 and above. Whereas this is where I really exposed myself for my parenting, is that when we went home for the spring break, and, you know, at that time when my daughter, my 14-year-old daughter, said to me, oh, you should really watch it, I did not think to say to her, have you watched it? And if you have, should you be watching it? Where were you watching it? And whatever. So while we were home, we had several meetings with architects and, you know, doctors and, you know, follow-up things. And each day we went into town with certain children, but we didn't always have all of our children. And what I soon learned is that while Miss 14 was at home, she was watching 13 Reasons Why on Netflix and having a great time, I imagine. So I had no idea.
At least she knew not to watch it in front of the little boys.
Oh, I know. But like I said to her, you know, Annie, I just can't even bear to think of you watching a rape scene or, you know, watching something like that. And she was like, oh, yeah, but I kind of didn't. Like if it got awkward and uncomfortable, and I was like, yeah, I know you watched it. Don't tell me that you turned away and you didn't. But, I mean, she assures me that she did. But, I mean, I think this is more the point. What I think with teenagers, because I've seen it come up in other people's feeds, is like friends who are relaxed and bad mothers like me have said
and
in
me.
Their feeds, gee, I wonder if my kids have watched it. And, you know, you've almost sort of watched them yell out, hey, Susie, have you watched 13 Reasons Why? Oh, yep, they've watched it. Do you know, and this, I think, is the conversation we need to be having, because I don't know now how, because my 16-year-old, she watched it with other friends in Australia. Now, she doesn't have a Netflix account, so I know she's, you know, watched it somehow on a laptop somewhere, and I don't want to get her arrested, but, you know, she's seen it. But how, you know, this is the real point, is that our kids have access to whatever they want to watch. And any of us that think we can stop them when they have a laptop and spare time is...
Yeah, I mean, YouTube,
so
there's a lot of worse stuff on YouTube.
Yes, there is. And our kids are all on YouTube all the time. And, yes, you know, when your children are 7 to 12, yes, you can police it really, really well. And I think we have done a good job of policing those things. But when your kids start getting bigger and they're walking around with their own laptops and their own iPods and they're sharing things amongst themselves, and you know that they're downloading books and they're down, you know, because for instance, a good point, I think, with 13 Reasons Why, there's two copies of that book in the library here in the Qatar Middle School. So, you know, obviously they could read it any time they wanted anyway. But
What I think is that there's such a huge uproar. I was like, but this book's been around for 10 years before the TV series has been made. I guess a TV series brings a greater audience share or whatever. But I was like, to me, the parents that were being very upset about the TV show, I understand why. Look, I totally get it. It is confronting. I mean, one of the rape scenes was awful. I mean, they were both really bad. Sorry, there's no good rape. But just really awful. And I wouldn't want my 10-year-old daughter to see that. But I just think that these things do exist. My 10-year-old daughter could search for something on YouTube and that could come up, not that scene, but a scene like that. And I would have no idea and I wouldn't be able to talk to her about it or understand about it or whatever. So I just think, you know, we just got to trust in something, and I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Okay, so I think have we covered everything we want to talk about?
I think we have.
So I think that's about it now that I've outed myself as a irresponsible and terrible mother.
And I've outed myself as having probably unpopular viewpoints about children watching such shows. So we're equal.
All right, and we will be back next week.
But if you have liked this episode and thought it was helpful, useful in any way, we would love you to either subscribe on iTunes or rate us on iTunes and or share with a friend.
Yes. Can you please share us? I'd like to see us being shared a little more.
We're suffering share phobia, share loss, share something. We'll find a word.
Yes, those reviews are lovely though. And yeah, just come and say hi.
Okay, and we'll come back and say hi to you all next week.
Okay,
bye.
Bye.